الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum. Arhamdulillah Ridikatu. Welcome to the Islamic Faith and Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. And I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. You should have with you your Quran, which is the only text that's required for this particular class, and paper, pencil, pen, or some way of keeping notes or taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic is talking about the Minhaj al-Muslim, meaning the way of the Muslim. Minhaj, M-I-N-J-A-H, then you have a little space, then U-L, and then you have a space, and then Muslim, M-U-S-L-I-M. And basically, it's saying the way of the Muslim, behavior of Muslim, and other things related to that particular topic. Let's look at first the etiquette or the behavior of a Muslim. One is the intention, doing things for the sake of Allah. Allah says in chapter 39, verse 11, again, chapter 39, verse 11 in the Quran. So go ahead and turn to that particular page and chapter in your book, in your Quran, which you should have it by your side and ready to go. And that's being prepared for class. It says, say, O Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon you. Verily, I am commanded to worship Allah alone by obeying him and doing religious deeds sincerely for his sake only, or his sake alone. So it is all about the person's intention, about doing things for the sake of Allah and seeking Allah's pleasure, his religious, and doing religious deeds solely for him. Also, as mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, he says, verily, all actions are but driven by intention, and for everyone, it is what he intended. For example, a person goes to a particular village or town or a state, city, or wherever, and they go there for seeking a job. They go there for seeking money or seeking a woman or a man. Then that's what they're getting. They're going there for that intentions, and they get rewarded around that particular intention. But then you have people who might go to a town, someplace, or to someplace else, seeking Allah's blessing, seeking the religion of Islam, for example, more knowledge. Because say I learned that I'm in A town or village or city, and I'm going to B town, village, or city, because there I understand there's a scholar there that can help me to have a better understanding of Islam. And so I will go, that's my intention. I'm going there for a woman or for a job or for money. I'm going there to seeking the knowledge from this particular individual about Islam. And that we'll be rewarded according to my intentions. And so again, rarely our actions are but driven by intention, and for everyone, it is what he intended. Also, it is mentioned that it says, certainly, Allah does not look at your shapes or wealth, but he only looks at your hearts or your heart's deeds. And so this is what Allah looks at. Wealth, it doesn't matter to Allah. It doesn't matter about the shape of the other person and the individual. He look at what's in your heart. What are you all about? That is who the person is. It's like if the heart is corrupt, then perhaps the rest of the body is corrupt, or the person is corrupt. Or the tongue, for example, says various things. He put the rest of the body, the rest of the organs in the body in jeopardy because what he or she says. And so we have to be careful what we say with our tongue and what we believe in our heart, and trying to be the best person possible, and so that Allah can look at us based on not our shape and how beautiful we look, or ugly we look, or our wealth that we have, but we look at what is in our heart, that we have this goodness for other people and that we want to help other people. I also want to mention one of the etiquettes or the behavior of a Muslim, and that is on a way of a Muslim, is being rewarded for good deed if you do it or not. So what do I mean by that? The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, "He who sincerely considers doing a good deed but do not do it will have one good deed recorded for him. For example, if a person intended to do a good deed, I'm going to remove something, or I feel in the heart I want to remove something, or I need to remove something so don't harm the people. At least that's his niyyah, and that's his or her intention. But then say they don't do it. At least they thought about doing, or they were going to do it. They sincerely were going to do it, but for some reason or another, they could not do it. And so it was all about their niyyah and all about their intentions, and they will still be rewarded for it. And so that hopefully everyone have good in their heart and good intentions in their heart to help other people. But maybe something comes up and you can't do it. It's like one of the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him. He said that basically that when you see a wrong being done, then what? You change it with your hand. If you're not able to do so, to change it with your hand, then you say something with your mouth. If you're not able to do that, something prevents you from doing that, then you at least hate it in your heart, whatever it may be. Then that's the lowest form of faith, and whatever is going on around you or that particular situation, and you say, no, I don't like that. I can't say anything. I can't change with my hand. I can't say anything about it for whatever the situation is. But at least I don't like it. I don't accept that. I hate it in my heart. And so you have that individual, of course, will be recorded for a good deed. Now, on the other side, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, the one who marries based on a dowry, that's like a marriage gift that a person gives, that he has no intention of paying it. In fact, he is a fornicator, and one who takes a loan that he has no intention of repaying it, in fact, a thief. And so I want you all to keep in mind, it's about a person who, I said I'm going to pay it, that for example, I pay, say this is a woman, I'm going to give you a dowry, or whatever money, or books, or on a trip, but I never do it. I never had any intentions to do it. I just said that because I want to marry you or make it a promise to you, and I'm not keeping that particular promise, and so that individual, I would be considered a fornicator in this particular case. Or if I borrow money from you and had absolutely no intentions of paying that money back to you, and so I will be considered a thief. I had absolutely no intention. I just wanted to take the money from you and give it to me. I wanted you to be in my life as this woman, and I have no intentions of giving you the dowry. So you have to be very, very careful of what we promise and that we intrude in our intention. That's the behavior of a Muslim, that they behave in a proper way. You say you're going to give a woman a dowry, give her the dowry. If you say that you're going to pay a person back, and that's anyone, pay a person back, from some money they loan to you, and then of course you pay it back. Now other things may come into and cause a problem, come your situation, and you can't pay it back. That's one thing. But if you're able to pay it back, you have the money, whatever, you keep going on vacations and paying everyone else the money, money and giving out money to people, but you don't pay this person back that you owe money to. So I'm going to move on. Another etiquette and behavior towards Allah. And this is going to be in chapter 2, verse 152. Again, that's chapter 2, verse 152. And it says, Allah says, therefore remember me, my prayer and glorification. I will remember you, be grateful to me, and never be ungrateful to me. So this is our behavior we should have towards Allah, that we remember Allah, Allah remember us, and we be grateful to Allah, and not Allah will never be ungrateful to us. And this is us. This is our behavior. We don't have to have any people to sign up or sign off on it, say, oh, yeah, you're a great thing, no, a great person. No, don't do that. It's not what this thing is all about. What it's all about is that you're doing it to please Allah. And that's the only reason you're doing whatever you're doing, to please Allah and seeking the pleasure from Allah. And we remember Allah, dhikr Allah much, and you doing or glorifying Allah and making dua or praying to Allah, Allah remember you. And if you're grateful to Allah, Allah will not be ungrateful to you. And so please keep this in mind. Again, this is chapter number 2, verse 152 in your textbook, which is Quran. Now turn to the next chapter, another chapter, which is chapter 5, verse 23. Again, chapter 5, verse 23. And it says in this particular verse, put your trust in Allah if you are believers indeed. So another behavior of the Muslim is that they put their trust in Allah. And that's it. We put our trust in Allah that Allah is going to take care of things and that Allah is with us. That Allah is aware of what we're going through right now and he's going to help us and take care of us. And that we depend on Allah. Put our trust in Allah if you believe in, if you are a believer indeed. And so this is what we're supposed to be as Muslims. We don't put our trust in mankind. We put our trust in the creator of mankind. Because sometimes, not all the time, man will fail you. You're depending on him or her, whatever mankind, you depend on them to do something for you. But something happened, they can't do it, or they don't do it at all, and you rely on them to do it, and they don't do it. But Allah, he'll take care of you. Put our trust in Allah. Oh, Allah, you know my situation. Please, Allah, take care of me. I know there's been a situation in my own in my life is that I go through something, and I pray to Allah. Oh, Allah, you know aware of my situation. You're the only one that can really help me out this situation. Please help me, Allah. And then next time I know, Allah, some kind of way, he makes, I don't know where the help comes from, but Allah provides the help for me, unto me. And so I put my trust in Allah. And so let me go to another verse and chapter in the Quran. And that's going to be in chapter 24, verse 52. Again, chapter 24, verse 52. And I hope that you all are following along with me. I'm just telling you the makeup, the design of a Muslim. The makeup of a Muslim. And so I want to mention, Allah says, and whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, fears Allah and keeps his duty to him, such are the successful. So if you fear Allah, depend on Allah, keep our duties to Allah and our commitment to Allah, We are will be the successful ones. But anyone that does the opposite of that, to our etiquette is concerned of being a Muslim, then of course the opposite is going to happen. You will not be of the ones that are successful. You don't keep your duty to Allah and fear Allah, or obey Allah, teach Allah, teach Rasul, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. We don't do these things, these three things I mentioned: fear Allah, obey Allah, and keep His duty to Allah. We do these things, we're successful. We don't do these things, we will not be successful. Also, we're talking about the etiquette and behavior toward the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And this also is laid out in chapter 49, verse 2. Again, chapter 49, verse 2. And it says, O you who believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet, may peace be upon him, nor speak aloud unto him in talk, as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds may be rendered fruitless while you have perceived it not. In other words, the respect we should give to the Prophet, not raising our voice towards him, not speaking loudly towards him. I mean, the Prophet is dead now, but it was a warning to the people then that don't raise your voice towards the Prophet. Don't speak loud towards him like we would do to each other. Raising our voice towards each other, or speaking loudly towards each other. This is something we don't do that to the Prophet. If we want our deeds to be fruitless, while we don't even know it, don't perceive it, we perceive it not. And also it is mentioned that that's going to be in chapter 47, verse 33. And that ayat or that chapter I read earlier was chapter 49, and that was verse 2. Again, that was chapter 49, verse 2. Now we're going to read chapter 47, verse 33. Again, chapter 47, verse 33. And it says, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Ati Allah wa ati Rasul. This is what we're supposed to do. We obey Allah and obey the Messenger of Allah. He came, He was the last messenger to mankind. There will be no other messengers after Him. Several messengers came before Him. From Adam was the first one, and then the last one is Muhammad. After this, then the day of judgment is going to come. No more warners, no more prophets, no more messengers will come to us as mankind, because this is it. If you don't do what you're supposed to do now, it is going to be too late. I know that some people, they don't believe me. What are you talking about? It's a fantasy. It's some kind of fairy tale he's talking about. But the thing is, what I'm saying is the truth, and I want for you what I want for myself. And so I'm just doing nothing but presenting to you, a warning to you, advising you as I was advised before I became Muslim. And that was the best day of my life that I decided to become Muslim. I read everything I could read about Islam. I taught the people about Islam. We went to different people who I thought were practicing Islam, but it didn't feel right for me. And then finally, I found that the practice of Islam, what I've been doing ever since I became a Muslim. Then you can do the same. You can read about Islam, ask questions about Islam, go to the library, you go to the internet, you can go to, and the best place to go really is to a place of worship, a masjid where the Muslims are, and then basically watch their behavior. Going back and forth for classes. Talk to them. You have to make a commitment as soon as you walk through the door. And they should not put pressure on you to make any commitment as soon as you walk through the door. They should tell you about Islam. And then when you're ready to submit, or Allah is going to accept you as a Muslim, okay, then it happens. But the thing is, I have no control of you becoming Muslim. And so I just want to let you know off the top, that's not under my control. You seek it out, and then you decide, yeah, this sounds good to me. And then you can even go and tell other people about it. This is what I done. I'm now a Muslim. Please respect me and don't disrespect me because I made a decision that is best for me. And if they want to know more information, they can, of course, listen to my, or come to our classes and learn more about Islam. Or they can go to a masjid, M-A-S-J-I-D, and find out more about Islam and about the beautiful faith of Islam. And I'm just laying out for you and for them right now is that, or you can even tell them. Tell them to go to, I always have this, always go to our episodes and listen to our episodes on this, Islamic Faith and Focus and find out more about Islam and see if it fits for them. I have a lot of different things, topics that I talked about. I talk about some topics are kind of deep for our topics that we talk about in our class, and some are very, 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 very basic. And so the thing is, you can ask them to do that. They can listen in to this program or attend the class with you, or they can sit with you and listen to the class. It could be a kind of a party, if you will, of you all coming together like a book reading and listen to the program, and maybe afterward discuss it if you like. That would be up to you, you and those individuals. But the thing is, in verse 47, chapter 47, verse 33, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Messenger. And that's what we're supposed to do as Muslims, that we obey Allah and obey His messengers. Because man will do this, he'll do that, he'll be up. And I say man, I mean humankind. One day they're thinking this way, another day they're thinking that way. They're thinking this is right today, but it's wrong tomorrow. And so you have them going up and down, but Islam is consistent. It tells you what you're supposed to do, and there's no changing for Islam or going by the whims of a man or the whims of a woman, what they think and what they feel for that day. Or because I'm rich, you're going to do what I tell you to do. Because I'm poor, you're going to do what I tell you to do. I'm your mother, I'm your father, whatever. No, you go by what Allah says, and that is the rich and the poor and your mother and your father, going by and those that you know, going by what Allah says and not going by what they feel today to be right. And it may not be right, and it may hurt them and you. Also, the behavior towards oneself is very, very important when you're talking about the etiquette of the individual. One, at the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, all of you will enter paradise except for those who refuse. And the companions, they said, Allah's messenger said, and they said, who refuses? They wanted to know. He said, you will not enter paradise except those who refuse. And so those around him wanted to know, well, who's going to refuse paradise? And you all can go to one of my previous episodes where I talk about paradise, and you understand what they're meaning about. Who's going to refuse that? And he said, may peace bless be upon him, he said, whoever obeys me enters paradise, and whoever disobeys me has refused. And so this is a beautiful message, a very simple message that I'm putting out also to my students, is that I'm saying about those who refuse paradise. Whoever obeys me enters paradise, and whoever disobeys me refuses paradise. He only leads us towards paradise and not leading us towards the hellfire. This is what the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he's doing. Read for yourself. Find out more about him. Find out more about him as an individual. Just learn about him. I know I've read a lot about him over and over and over the years I've been Muslim. And the more I read about him, the more I get to understand him more and more, even at this point in my life. And the thing is that it's like when I get to the end of the book talking about the Prophet, it's like I lost a friend. It's like I got so close and reading about him and how kind he was and gentle he was and concerned he was and that he did things to please Allah and not to please mankind. And it was a time when a woman, a very rich woman, she stole, I believe it was a necklace. She stole something. She didn't need to. She just stole it. So people who were, they knew the what was going to happen to her Islamically for being a thief. And so some of her friends came to one of his companions of the prophet and said, look, you know, basically you're a good friend of the prophet. And so can you tell him, like, you know, ease up, don't hurt this woman, don't do anything towards this woman. We know what she did was a crime, but, you know, don't do anything to her. Let her slide, let her go. And so the man, he went to the prophet, and he mentioned basically what was said. And the prophet, he said to the man, he said, look, if my daughter Fatima, he loved his daughter so much, and she loved him. And he said, if my daughter stole something or was a thief, I would punish her. According to Islam, I would punish her accordingly. And so it didn't matter who the person was. Like this rich lady, she thought only because she was rich and these people made the appeal for her that she got away with it. And so no, Islam, we don't look at it like that. It doesn't matter who commits the crime. They commit the crime. It can be proven that the crime was committed, a crime against Islam. Then you get what Islam mandates for you to get because of what you've done. And so you commit the crime, and so you do whatever time, or you pay whatever you have had to pay back, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. You don't get away with it. And so this is what he did to the people. It does not matter. That's one of the beautiful things about Islam. It doesn't matter who you are. You are going to pay for what you've done. And not that the people who are of a certain status get away with doing something. And a person with a lower status, they don't get away with it. And so it is also mentioned that to have fear of Allah and obey him wherever you are. Follow up an evil deed with a good deed that wipes it away. And behave with the people with a good behavior. And so basically it's saying here, we'll fear Allah and obey Allah. And that if you do something bad, it's not too late. Oh man, what am I going to do? It's not too late. Follow it, do something good. Not that you go out there and do a bunch of bad things and say, I'm going to do all this bad. Now let me do all this good because all my bad will be wiped away. You do something bad, and then you want to take care of it, or you want to do you want to do something good to wipe away the bad. And hope and prayfully you will do more bad than good. The good become, I'm sorry, I meant the opposite. You're going to do more good than bad. And that becomes your behavior, your habit, that you're going to do more good after good after good, and then erase from your behavior bad. And so sorry about that mistake that I made. And so I'll read one more thing, the etiquette towards our spouses. And that is, Allah's Messenger, may peace and blessings upon him, said, verily, you have rights over your wives, and your wives have rights over you. And so that's one of the beautiful things about Islam, is that we each have rights. Our wives have certain rights that we can't take from them. We have to respect and do those. And we have certain rights as men that they have to respect and do those things. And so no one can take those away. I can't say, you're my wife, I'm not, you don't have this particular right. You, as my wife, say, you're my husband. You don't have these particular rights. No, that's not it. It's not for us to do, or our place to give it or to take it. It says here, verily, you have rights over your wives, and your wives have rights over you. I would like to read some more, but of course, our class time is going on. It's like going away or getting very close to us to stop. And so I want to remind you all that you have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.